What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime. Welcome back to a special edition of All the Smoke.
It is.
Man, Jack, this man right here, it got us started. 2019, man, what did us the honor of being our first guest. Now we 150 episodes in and decided to come back around. But Jack, since you executive produced this play, talk to us about who our guest is and what he's doing with us now.
Well, from being our first guest on All the Smoke, you know, our award-winning first guest, now my brother has ventured off. You know, he went back to school and he's found another passion for his second love, which is golf. And it was only right for me to, like, okay, this is our brother. Who else has been a trendsetter in the golf world, bringing it to the HBU, bringing light to the HBU, and for a young black man to golf, other than my brother, J.R. Smith? We can get the insight from him at least once a month to check in with him, bring him into the family. I thought it was a great idea. And I brought it to Brian and Gerald, and Gerald was down with it. So we love to have him back and happy to have him back and welcome him to the family. My brother, Gerald Smith.
Appreciate you, bro. Welcome to the Showtime
basketball family. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, my brother.
Appreciate you.
Well, let's get to it, man. What is college life like for someone of yourself who experienced, you know, straight out of high school to the NBA, a decorated NBA career, someone who was kind of ahead of their time? We'll touch on that a little bit later. But now you've kind of not really humbled yourself, but just kind of taken a step back to get your education, and you found your second passion, which is golf. So what has it been like for you these past year or so?
Man, it's been a learning experience all around, you know, from competitive standpoint, from something we so used to doing and being athletic and, you know, just being in that competitive environment. I'm all the way at the beginning. I'm in the learning processes of it. From a school standpoint, I was never really that, you know, the kid to be academically, you know, there for school, having, you know, growing up with disabilities and whatnot. And it was always about being at school, being in the hallways, messing with the girls, kicking with the homies, you know.
Facts.
You know, for me, I used to never, you know, cut school because school was like the place to be. That's where all the homies was at. That's where all the people was at. You know, it was just never the fact that I was in class. But now, you know, looking at it from a different perspective, going back as a 36-year-old man, it gives you a totally different respect for, you know, the people who were able to consistently be there mentally as well as physically to perform at those levels and still be able to, you know, do the schoolwork and whatnot. I truly commend them. I commend the players that I play with and watching other kids around campus and how they go about their business and whatnot. It's inspiring for me. So the whole, you know, academic side, athletic side, it's been just a learning experience. And I really appreciate them. You know, I learned so much from the younger generation about how they think and what they, you know, how they look at the world. And I think we don't do that enough. It's a lot of us older, you know, as we get older, we just think we know everything because we've been through so many different experiences. And we, you know, accumulate everybody's experiences as the same. Everybody feels a certain way the same, you know, and it's not like that for a lot of people. They, especially for the younger generations, with technology and the way sensitivity is grown within, whether it be sports or just, you know, pure humanity, learning about mental health and all these different issues that we didn't know about before. And it really gives you insight and it really blows your mind when you sit back and listen to them.
So you're in the middle of your second semester at North Carolina A&T. How did going back to college happen? You know, I mean, I think you speak for me and Jack too. Like, we wasn't really going to school for school. You know what I mean? But now you're literally going back to, although you're getting a chance to play golf, which we'll touch on. But how did going back to school actually come about?
So one of our peers we played against for a long time, Hall of Famer Ray Allen. We went on a golf trip. He invited me to one of his golf weekends in DR. And, you know, our golf schedule was predicated around his class schedule, what his class requirements were. And even then, he would still get up at 6 in the morning and read and do essays and papers. And one day, we were in between the breaks, and I didn't realize it at the time what he was doing. And I kept seeing him going to his computer. I was like, all right, what are you doing, bro? Like, why you keep going to the computer? Like, see, Lazo, he's like, I got work to do. He would always say, I got work to do. And then he went in depth about going back to school and getting his master's. And I was like, you're getting your master's? He was like, yeah. And he really enlightened me on, you know, self-preservation and continuously to grow as a person and try to better yourself consistently and challenge yourself, not only athletically, which you can do, or which we've been known to do against other people and just competitive environments, but challenge yourself against your peers academically as well. And when he started making so much sense to me on continuously to grow, continuously to better, because you got a long life to live outside of sports in general. And he really inspired me. He really took me on a roller coaster of emotions of, you know, where I've been to where I plan to go, where I want to be as a person. And it really hit home for me. So he was the person who really inspired me to go to school. And he just changed my whole mentality on who I am as a person and the person that I can live up to opposed to what everybody else's experiences of me has been. Because, you know, like we all know, people judge you off that hour and a half, and they get to see you just performing what you're really good at, not express yourself to the magnitude of understanding who you really are, opposed to perceptions of everybody else talking about you. And just talking, trying to not only talk about the game, but talking about your personality, talking about who you are, the type of person you are. And you never really get an opportunity to come back and, you know, express who you are until now when we have these platforms like this. And I think that's why I think it's really important, because somebody's sitting here telling you for hours and hours and hours what type of person this person is, what type of, what his personality is, or all of this, just because of the judgmental part of the hour and a half that you do see me performing at what I'm actually good at, you know? And again, we don't get that opportunity to express ourselves in that way. So it's been an amazing experience, you know, getting to know Ray and really continuously. It's almost like his energy is almost like a drug. I try to call him, text him every day, and just to hear the almost like the you know how old people say the good word, you go,
the word of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's unbelievable. It's nonstop. So I really appreciate that from him.
Your first semester, correct me if I'm wrong, you lived on campus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us what that was like. Someone who, again, made plenty of money, big houses, used to certain things, and you took yourself back to a place where college students live. And I know when I was in college, I was broke as fuck. So what was it like being back on campus and kind of being in that college environment?
Technically, I didn't live on campus. I was in right around, I had an Airbnb right around the corner, but I was on campus, might as well say. But it was fun because, you know, again, seeing the younger generation and how they react to me, and at the same time, I'm still a freshman. A lot of these men and women are juniors and seniors and upperclassmen and whatnot. And, you know, first day I'm looking for buildings and whatnot. I got, you know, them showing me around and want to take pictures and taking me to the bookstore and whatnot. It was dope, man. Going to the homecoming football games, the step show, it really gave me, you know, a really great feeling and inspired feeling because I've never been around that many Black people and it'd be like, you know, a supportive, you know, love, care, you know, without being no fights and nothing breaking out. You know what I mean? It was real love, real genuine people. You know, I went to homecoming and I met women who crossed in their lives together as Greek sisters and been doing this since 64 and continuously come to homecoming every single year. Like they play spades, they got their partners, they do it every year. And, you know, they got the other, you know, and it's funny because it's other women from different sororities who do the same thing. And when they see each other, not because, even though they, you know, one is the Delta, one is the AKA, one is the whatever, whatever, they all show love to one another. Love. You know, it's no, oh, you this, you that, or you, nah, it's none of that. It's like, oh, hey girl, what's up? What's going on? How such and such, such? It's like, it's so much bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? And it's an amazing feeling because again, when you, coming from the situations we come from, the societies that we come from, it's not always, it ain't always like that. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And, but to have that and to people to embrace me, to be a part of that, it was amazing. And I was shooting a doc. I'm shooting a documentary about it. And that you're going to see this woman, she's really expressing her love for A&T. You know, she's like, yo, she heard about me coming to school, whatever, whatever. And everybody was talking about how it'd be great for the school, whatever, whatever, whatever. And she was like, no, the school would be great for him. You know what I'm saying? Like the love and impact that we have as Aggies and the foundation we built and the way we carry ourselves. And like, you know, she really made it a point for me to understand, like, whatever you do from going here on out, you always going to be remembered as an Aggie. And that really hit home for me because it was like a place from an acceptance, you know, somebody who was trying to let me know that the foundation that she was a part of and she helped build and so many people before her and after, you know, you a part of that now. So all of that comes with the responsibility of taking care of all of us. When you look at it, it ain't just about you once again. And for me, that's very important.
Compared to, okay, you won an NBA championship, you got all kind of NBA accolades. What does getting a 4.0 measure up to?
Man, that's like, for me, I mean, again, I've always had the talent to do pretty much any and everything. So even like, you know, people I've played on, you know, on teams with, they'll tell you probably, you know, more than anybody, they can see me doing something like this, going into another field and doing, being, you know, somewhat successful at it or not as, it not being as hard, you know, compared to everybody else. Cause I've been naturally good at, you know, athletically everything. But for 4.0, and that's like, I tell everybody, you know, I wouldn't change my championships in it, but I give my sixth man for sure. Because I never expect, nah, for real, for real, because for me, like, you know, getting 4.0, and I used to walk around school, I see the kids getting 4.0s, it was just like, and I know me, I'm just not even on that level. I'm over here trying to read a page and the words scattered in my head, looking at math with alphabet now, it's just lost me. So school was definitely not my thing. But now, as you know, as you mature, you understand what your goals are and why you do certain things and what you're doing it for, it gives you a more perspective, a better insight. When I was in school back in the day, I just wanted to go to the gym. I just wanted to get out of there, go talk to the homies, whatever. I had so many other things going on. And now that I make it a priority and I know why I'm doing it, like, me and my daughters be sending me they tests, and we be sending it back and forth and literally competing with my kids. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's great because I can see how engaged my kids are now. When I hear the, when their mothers go to the meetings and stuff, they tell them that they see the change in my kids, because I can be an inspiration and be more of a level playing field. They can relate to me now, opposed to me just being their dad or being a professional basketball player that everybody else treats so holy or godly or think of whatever, you know what I'm saying? Having that much more of a perspective of somebody than just a random person, you know, walking down the street. So when they hear me talk about school and I can understand and relate the problems that they go through at times, and, you know, and just being so time consuming, I can relate to them and they can relate to me. So it gives us more of, you know, other things to talk about, opposed to just being that adult parent.
Yeah, that goes into my next question. You know, how is it being a father and a student at the same time?
Man, it's fun, bro. Like, real talk, like, it's crazy, real talk. I got an intro to algebra and trig, right? Now, this is my first math class in 20 years. Bro, why is my 13-year-old daughter learning the same stuff, fractions and everything?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Bro, I got a tutor, so I had to get a tutor for this class, right? And it just so happened my daughter needed a tutor. So the guy that's my tutor now, he's my daughter's tutor. So he's like, yeah, you know what's funny? I was like, what? He's like, I was just doing this with your daughter yesterday, because my daughter's class is on Mondays and mine's on Tuesdays. So I was like, man, why you even tell me that? But it's fun, though, because I get to go, again, I get to have those conversations. But hey, babe, what you think of this formula? How did you work out with this? And we'll go back and forth in that dialogue. For her, I could see her light up. I could see her like, oh, wow, like we really like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's the dope part for me, man. That's the best part about it, because I can continuously inspire my kids. And obviously you want to inspire as many kids as possible, but it always hits home when, you know, you can inspire your kids and you see your kids with that look on their face.
I mean, math is different, though. I mean, obviously, the twins are 13 now. They're in seventh grade, too. But I stopped knowing how to do their shit in, like, third or fourth grade. I'm like, there's no remainders no more. How do y'all divide? Like, math is way different from when we was in school.
For sure.
I didn't know it then. Damn sure don't know it now.
You just know how to count that shit up.
That shit, bad as a track.
Fortunate enough to play Division I golf now. Where did your passion and love for golf first start?
I started in Houston, H-Town. Charlotte Lewis, another NBA brother of ours, he had his first foundation event, was a golf event. So I go out there, me, Steve Francis, all these dudes, John Lucas, we all go out there. At the time, I ain't play golf. So we just riding around on the carts, pulling up on groups, you know, speaking, kissing.
Sound like Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sipping, smoking, you know. I ain't play golf, so I was talking shit. Everybody hitting the ball in the woods, people hooking it left, right, all this shit, right? Some people barely hitting the ball. And I pull up on Moses Malone group, rest in peace. And Big Moses, he out there. He's like, man, yo, fella, you talking all this shit? Come hit this ball. So, you know, me, I got an ultimate respect for Hall of Famers. Like, I don't, you know, when they ask me to tell me to do something, I don't care if it's go get water. Like, I got you. Like, shit, you earned that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a rookie around them. And so he's like, young fella, come hit this ball. I'm like, man, shit. I'm talking all this shit. I don't even know how to do this shit. But I know I'm athletic enough to, if I see somebody do it, I can do it. So he showed me how to hold a club. I'm watching the first dude go. He hit it in the woods. I watched the second dude go. He hit it in the woods. Third dude could barely hit it. Big Moses put it out there like 250. So I get up there. I'm like, all right, bet. I know what I'm doing. And I hit the bitch 300 yards down the fairway. First swing. So I throw the club to Big Moses. I'm like, man, this shit is easy, man. Y'all ass, like talking shit with no word. I get up in the cart, right? I pull off, whatever, thinking I'm smooth. I'm like, damn, I kept that shit the whole time, right? Pull back up with his group like an hour and a half later, because we, you know, I was riding through the whole course or whatever, talking to people and whatnot. And I pull back on his group, man, you can't do it again. You can't do it again. Threw me the club. I was like, man, you just want to say it twice. Bro, I could barely hit the ball, bro. I could barely hit the ball. I was hooked. After that, I was like, nah. Next swing I hit it, that shit would start going left, going right, doing everything everybody else was doing. I said, oh, no. Oh, no, I got to get this shit. After that, I've been hooked.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
You recently got a chance to play 36 with MJ. First of all, how did that happen? And then how did the day go?
Man, so one of my guys is a young Black man named so he's from Jersey. He's an amazing painter, actually. He got a lot of dope pieces. But he ended up hooking me up with a guy named David Storch out of, he's from Chicago, just moved down here to North Palm Beach. And him and MJ is real tight. They went back, you know, back in the Chicago days, very close. And I end up playing, we played 36 with Mike, and it was like, I don't know. It was everything that you thought it was going to be, but like to hear him actually be around Mike and he talking shit, like that shit was like, damn, like he really be going in. And when I tell you he be talking shit, he be talk shit, bro. And he nice though. Like,
he has no one. No, is he nice?
That's what I want to know. He nice is though. He? His short game is like one of the pros. I'm watching shit he doing. I'm like, hey, yo. making shit like, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm lucky for me, we kept our bet light. You know what I'm saying? So with the people he betting with in our group, they like these like some you know what I mean Bure pots. I'm a original, yo. If I not for no golf, bro, nah, I just ain't that for sure though. But it was dope, man, because like again, I like I don't know. I just seen a glow on Mike, man. Like he. You see him when he in his element being competitive and everything. And he, you know, it's just like, and I thought about, when I first seen him, I thought about some AI set. Like, yo, he really got on Jordans. Like, what else he going with? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this shit's wild, bro.
That's dope. I mean, obviously getting a chance to play with him is amazing. Is there anyone else on your bucket list you would like to play around with?
Yeah, I gotta get it in with Tiger, man, for sure.
Of course.
That's the goal right there. That's the if I can, you know what I mean, pick his brain on the sport. Obviously, I wouldn't say obviously to the golf world, but to me, he's obviously the greatest ever. And you know, to learn, be able to learn from him. From I'm not really sure what. He identifies himself as, I know he's, before it was like Belasian or something like that, but to get a perspective of that racism in the game of golf, as well as, you know, picking his brain about the actual sport and how to get better, it'd be a great, you know, 4 hours, I feel like. Obviously, he's the greatest at what he's done. And he's overcame so many different barriers within the game. So it'd be great to pick his brain.
The mental aspect of golf. I mean, me, someone who just played this past weekend, is a motherfucker. How do you compare that mental to basketball?
I'm still working that out, actually, man. It's like, it's tough because it's like you can't try harder. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Like in any other sport, you can try harder, you can play better defense, you can grab a rebound, you can be scrappy if your shot ain't working, if you ain't finding it offensively, you know what I'm saying? And then golf, the more you press, the more it's gonna go. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna fade. And it's a mental, you know, a mental game because it's a lot like basketball where, you know, the only thing that's the same is really your setup. You get a ball, you can get a shot, the ball below your feet, above your feet, wind blowing 10 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, left, right. You can be uphill, downhill, however, you know what I'm saying? In the basketball, we got, you know, 94 by 50. We got the same spots that we play in every night consistently, you know. The only thing that really changed is the arenas. Sometimes it's a little colder in there, but not by much. Out there, everything comes into play. So you got to remember that, you know, mentally and staying in it. There's so many different elements that come into play with every shot. And, you know, sometimes they say too much information isn't good for you. But if I know, you know, in hoop, if I know you shoot 40% at this position, I'm trying to run you off that spot. But in golf, you're trying to get it to a certain spot as many times you can, because you know that's what you're good at. You know what I'm saying? And as an individual sport, it's hard because there's nobody else to rely on but yourself. So you got to make it happen. And it's just a mental challenge every round for me. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, consistent. I haven't been consistent enough to be able to just breeze through the game. But even in, you know, even the pros, you know, they go out there and shoot 64, 65. They're going to walk in the clubhouse and say they should have shot 62 or 63.
Right.
It's just the game.
Yep. Obviously, you and Jack, you know, going straight to the league. I was someone who went to college, and the majority of the time, we don't have, I say 98% of the time, people like us, we don't have no money coming into college. You know what I mean? So unless you got a booster off the rip, like day to day, I remember C. Webb talking about, you know, he's seeing his jersey everywhere being sold at the store, but he ain't got money to get no food. You know what I mean? So I think this NIL thing is a long time overdue. And I'm glad to see that the college athletes are definitely benefiting. What I think is even dope, though, is you're sharing the sugar. You know what I mean? Like the shit is coming your way and you're opening doors up for your teammates, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal, man, to continuously sharing it with my like-minded people, and as well as to try to build generational wealth for more Black and minorities. It's a tough battle, but for something like this, you know, it should have been done, because there's no difference from anybody else overseas being a professional and getting paid and all of that, and then coming over here and being a top five pick. It don't stop nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just another avenue to keep us in the dark and for other people to get rich.
And obviously not to mention the type of money you're making, but is it good money? Like if you were a regular college student right now, are these deals like, damn, this is some good bread for a college student?
Yeah, for sure. Sure. It's a little more for me because I got so many followers and the outreach when you do the analytics of it. But I would say it's really good money for, you know, somebody who's in college. They'll be able to take care of what they need to take care of, live, you know, and within moderation. Some of the professors and whatnot wouldn't like it because they'd be making more than them and within a semester. So, but from that standpoint, that's what makes it tough, because we already behind the eight ball because we overvalue what we do. You know what I'm saying? We overvalue sports and we overvalue this entertainment so much, and we deem it so much more important as academics as somebody who's actually teaching your kids. You get somebody who's teaching your kids as accumulation over a year, $30,000, and more kids. Spend more time with your kids than you do, but you'll spend $100,000 on floor seats or around the arena. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, we'll go buy jerseys, memorabilia, and everything else, but you'd rather, you know what I'm saying? You really think about it, that's what we value. And it's just, that's where it's at.
It's bad.
It ain't gonna change either.
Nope. So knowing everything you know now, this is just a hypothetical, and knowing that you would still have a long NBA career, would you do college if you had a chance to start, if you were a senior in high school, would you jump straight to the league again, or would you fuck around in college for a couple of years first?
No, I don't straight to the league, yeah.
I was about to say, yeah, ain't no way. I wouldn't. This shit.
Because honestly, like, if you really think about it, like, Jack can go to school right now, bro. He go to school and play whatever sport he wanted, but basketball. You got eligibility. You can do it literally whatever you wanted to do. And bring that talent, and bring that notoriety to HBCU.
Well, low key, I can't say the name, but I kind of got an offer to coach at HBCU.
See? So,
be like Ice Cube on Higher Learning in the dorm still.
Well, West Coast just took a job at Jackson State.
Mo Williams.
Mo Williams, yeah.
Yeah, shout out.
See, I didn't know that you could do that because I thought you had it. I thought they were saying before you had to have a degree. That's what
yeah, you know. Why. Yeah, you know his ways around. He knows his ways around that.
For sure.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man, I wish I was physically fit enough to go back to school and play a sport like football,
baseball. What sport would you play? What sport would you play if you was in shape?
Football.
Okay. Would you be an offensive lineman?
I'll be a red zone receiver or a safety.
Okay.
I keep going back and forth with it. I'm still at that size and weight, but it's about that time. You got to make a decision. I don't think I'm going to do it.
Oh, you thought about going back and playing football?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
You didn't play baseball growing up, Swish?
Yeah, I played baseball, football, and basketball.
Yeah. I think baseball would be dope.
Baseball's tough, bro.
I ain't hitting that 98 miles. No, that's out.
Once you see that 100-mile-per-hour fastball coming at your head or hit your ribs,
that's out.
Changes your whole life.
For sure.
Deion recently made a splash at Jackson State, flipping the number one recruit, Travis Hunter, from Florida State to JSU. Do you see more athletes doing that? I mean, we've seen a couple since Travis, but do you see more in other sports as well as football?
Yeah, I think so. The more, basketball coaches and former professional NBA guys start coming back and coaching HBCUs, I think you'll see a lot more of it. One thing I'm really happy, for Penny, because he went to Memphis. He's bringing so many young kids into his system. He's got a great system, and he's got Larry Brown,
and Rasheed,
you know what I'm saying? Mike Miller, you got real guys, lead guys in those positions, and I would like to see that more, again at the HBCUs and converting that and really building powerhouses within our own school systems, because at the end of the day, for one, the education ain't gonna be the same. It'll never be the same that you can get from a HBCU than a PWI. I really don't care what nobody says. It's not going to be. It's just a difference.
Right.
And on top of that coaching and that experience, you know what I'm saying? You were sitting there learning from the greatest. Like, when you talk about the kid that's going to Florida State, going to Jackson State, he plays the position of the greatest person who ever played that position.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't he go there? You know what I'm saying?
Who
can teach him better? Who, when you look at the football, the young recruits and stuff like that, why wouldn't they go play for a Hall of Famer? I was talking to Ed Reed a couple weeks ago, and he was getting a tough job getting a position at Miami. I'm just sitting there like, name me five safeties that was better than Ed Reed. Name me three, maybe two. You can't. And you sit here and look at the kids that go into those schools and stuff like that. Why wouldn't they want to play for one of the greatest players ever at that? But you don't think he know what he's talking about?
Politics. Them white folks.
Politics as usual.
Hey, last time we spoke, it was literally right before you signed with the Lakers. You guys went into the bubble, won a championship. Run us back through that whole situation of you actually being signed, going to the Lakers, and then that run through the bubble.
Man, so I was out there working out every day, like almost like slaving myself to hope something came through. And once the bubble situation happened and they opened up those roster spots, They really, you know, offered me a position just in case, a situation, in case something happened, in case somebody go down or whatever. And I knew that going into it. And they really wanted me in that, you know, more of a veteran leadership role. And I was, you know, I wasn't a person that was too hung on my pride or whatnot. And I definitely wanted to play, and I wanted to be a backup part of the league and in a situation to where, again, you can, you know, you're around what you're accustomed to and what you love so much. So, you know, I easily jumped at it, and they brought it to you going into the bubble like a week or two. And passing all the COVID shit, that shit was nuts. But that, it was dope, man, being around the guys again. A little bit too much being in that bubble like that. But, man, it, I ain't gonna lie, bro. When you with somebody every day for like 3 months and it ain't your lady, it's like, it's not just one dude. It ain't two dudes. It's a 300 dudes. You know what I'm saying? Then you got people regulating where you can go, where you can't go. You got to stay on this side. You got to do this. Like, bro, you don't start this. I don't operate that good with rules and regulations like that. So you continuously tell me you can't go over here. You can't go over there. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's like, bro, this ain't that. Not at 34, 35.
Question. Since it's pretty much legal now in the NBA, was you don't have to mention no names. Was there a tree in the air in the bubble?
Oh yeah, it was blowing it down.
Okay. Was you? Yeah, I knew it.
That's the only day. But you know, it's funny though. I didn't know that was the only way you could really
function.
You could really function in that joint. So it wasn't for that.
I was gonna let you say it first, because we was on FaceTime when you was telling us, you was rolling up telling us how miserable you was when you was in the bubble.
We was in the chat almost every night, bro. Toast on the other side, like, this was wild. But it was cool because I'm glad it happened, because it finally broke that barrier and that stigma that you couldn't play and all of this. It was a drug. It was this and that. And then when you go to the bubble basketball, some of the dudes was like, granted, some of the dudes was playing, it was like practice games kind of situation. So some of them really can't play that well for the 30,000. But at the same time, you seen some of the best level of basketball. You seen these dudes still doing what they was doing, like kicking, killing, cooked up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, stop making it seem like it's so, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, it's alcohol or something. Like, you know you ain't out that joint drunk just getting 60 like that. That shit ain't happening no more. You know what I'm saying? But when you can be at peace with your mind, with your body, with your soul, and you can go out there and just hoop, like, that's all you want.
What was the locker room like? When y'all saw Milwaukee said they wasn't gonna play.
Everybody was really confused. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't really know who started the thing. And then, you know, when one started it, you know, which I respect, somebody else came up behind him, like, I ain't gonna let you do that by yourself. And then the whole team started to do it. So when I thought of it in that perspective, I thought it was dope. But the locker room, again, everybody was confused, like, what's going on? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why are we choosing now to say this and that and third? A lot of questions was raised. For me, it's like, you know, fortunately it did happen, because it brought so much more awareness to me and how things actually work within the industries and all of that. So, those meetings was crazy, bro, because it's like we stopped everybody. Again, it's like, it's almost like camp. You know what I'm saying? You got counselors, which is coaches. You got all the players. You put you in this big ass ballroom. And then we all, you know, somebody talk. Well, this coach talk, this player talk, that player talk, this, you know what I'm saying? And it was funny to hear different perspectives and how people really think of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just that much more bigger than somebody's lives or what we've been, you know, fighting and overcoming before even we was allowed to play in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different. Like when you really take it back to something bigger than the game, when people don't realize that, like, oh, nothing's bigger than the game. They're like, no, there's a lot of shit that's bigger than the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's a game. I love the game 100%, but I'm not going to sacrifice and compromise who I am for the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just, at some point, you got to have, you know what I mean, integrity within who you are, what you stand for. Because I know I stand for something way more than the game. Like, you know, when I look at somebody, when people don't want to get into quote-unquote politics, you got to, because at the end of the day, the politics affects your family, how the shit move or how it work around here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at it from different perspectives, again, I wouldn't have had that mindset at 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. You know what I'm saying? I was obviously way more into me and whatever I had going on and hooping, and other than actually looking at it from a broader perspective of how shit going to affect my generational legacy with my kids and my grandkids and shit like that. Because I want, you know, there were so many people before us that made sacrifices, like Jim Brown and all these dudes, Ali and all these dudes, you know what I'm saying? To sit here and just so we could continuously make a dollar is like spitting in their face, bro. Because it's like, the shit that they went through and Jackie Robinson and all of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you really get down to the meat and potatoes, like the Negro Leagues and how we was treated coming into their league and then be able to dominate their league and take over their league and be the pioneers to their league, to have the greatest of all time at every position. All of that, when you think about all of that and still not be, you know what I mean, accepted or wanted, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I take it to a different level of, what am I doing? Am I just aiding and abetting to this? Because if that's the case, I could be easily removed. And that's why I really don't even make no calls about it no more. You know what I'm saying? I haven't picked up a ball in 9 months because my passion and love is into what I'm doing. But also, it's just like, it's so much, it makes you not want to do it no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to keep aiding in this direction of something that ain't changing nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't, okay, we wear patches and all this other stuff on the jersey and all that, but one, we don't know where that money going to. Quote unquote, all this fine money and everything else that they, it goes to charity. What charity? Who charity? Like, all of this shit. Like,
who,
bro,
benefits?
Who benefited from this? Because if that's the case,
do our people benefit?
Right. If that's the case, if you find me $1 million, send $1 million to my community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Send $1 million to Jack community. Send it to Matt community. Don't just sit here and say, oh, we just taking this and we're going to donate it to charity. Who charity? What charity? Yeah. Last people we knew who was in charge of shit like that was in jail. So what's up? You know what I'm saying?
Talk that shit. I literally just had this conversation the other day because I got fined almost $600,000. Jack, you got fined millions. I'm not sure how much you got fined, Jar, but to me, first of all, we should be able to pick where our money is going. Like, don't let it go to a pot where you say it's going to charity. And like you said, who's charity? What charity? What color are the people? Who is it really helping? You know what I mean? Right. If you're going to take our money from us, we should definitely have a say in who it goes to help.
Well, and also, we donate and we should be able to write it off.
Ooh, good call. I need it.
Talk to me.
I need it.
Because they damn sure doing it every time. Yeah. Like, I look at it like you, and it's a difference because, again, being around in the golf space and you really learning how people work on a business level. Like, you with somebody for 4.5 hours, like, out there, you know who they is at some point. Like, you ain't just y'all talking and everything else. So, like, you really getting an understanding of who you dealing with and what they got going on. You take it a step further, get the info, continuously talk to them, whatever, and they really give you the ins and outs of their business and how they maneuver and all of that. Bro, it's a dirty game on so many different levels. It's just that we've played it only on this superior level at this for so long. This is the only way we see it. But it's so many different levels to this grimy shit that go on, bro. It's crazy. Like, that's why I try to continuously inspire the youth and try to give them ways of, you know what I'm saying, not the ways we thought, more of the grouping up and, like, you know, more group economics. Like, because honestly, that's the only way it's going to work. When you go into an HBCU, it's like, for me, I look at these kids and I'm like, all right, cool. You the architect, you the developer, you the interior decorator, you the roofer, you the landscape. Y'all got everybody y'all need right here. Yeah. Y'all got everything you need right here. 70 of y'all. Boom, 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 boom. Go ahead, go do that. Y'all create one business. All of y'all get a percentage of the company, and then y'all create multiple businesses. And then you do, and he work with other kids at other HBCUs. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is so many different ways of networking and trying to connectivity within the school system and HBCUs. It's dope. And I just try to continuously give these kids advice because they always think they need a celebrity or some super big hit to, you just need 70 of your like-minded peers that want to do the same thing, that's interested in, y'all can make a killing just that fast. You get a loan, you get a 10,000, you go 10,000, you go 20,000, whatever. All right, cool. You know what? I know this celebrity, he going to think it's a great idea, he going to invest 200,000. You up and running, you moving, you popping, like, that's the way it's got to go, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just looking at it from such a long shot of a run, you get, you know, I try to continuously give them business proposals and stuff like that in different realms, because you got to have that different outlook on it. Again, another podcast I did, I talked about the, you know, the Eurocentric mindset. It's always about me. It's always about me. We were embedded into that. You know what I'm saying? We got to get more back to that Afrocentric mindset, where it's more about community. It's more about tribe. It's like, all right, cool. I'm going to pull you in. Yeah, like we got to get back to that, because if we don't, then you can't win. You can't be behind the eight ball so far with where we are to be able to think just one or two people going to do it, five people going to do it. We got a couple billionaires. Yeah, we got 5 or 6 billionaires. It's a hundreds of them. You know what I'm saying? Like we got one owner in professional sports, one majority owner in professional sports. Like, come on.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game, bro.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Recently, Jamal Crawford retired after 20 years. A little bittersweet for him. He wanted to touch 20,000. Are you at peace with the way your NBA career ended?
First of all, shout out to Jamal, man. That's my dog right there, man. That's a true hooper, bro. All respects to Jamal, man. Me, no, because it's like, I feel like I can still hoop, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing about me that I feel like don't let me hoop, let me rock until the wheels fall off, you know what I'm saying? If I feel like I can't do it no more, all right, cool. Like, just the way it went down, it was seeming fishy and funny to me. It's another backstory we'll talk about later, but it just didn't sit well with me. But I'm happy with, you know, I had a long career, 16 years. When I look at it, so many people who haven't had the opportunity, who touched the league, just couldn't stick or, you know, play 2 or 3 years, 4 years, you know. I'm fortunate in so many different ways. For one, to be successful and win championships, to be, again, be around for, shit, a decade and a half plus, that's a tough thing to do. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're dealing with, you know, the greatest of, you know, the greats. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like, man, you played 16 years? I'm like, yeah. He's like, who's like an older person that these young kids wouldn't really remember that you played against? I'm like, bro, for this generation, I played against Reggie. Like, that's tough for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I played against Reggie Miller, bro. Like, a Hall of, like, at his last year was my first year. So, like, walk into a 30 ass whooping by Reggie, like, that was tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, for somebody, you know.
I was there.
Yeah, like, that shit was, to walk into a game, I see, you know what I mean? Jack, Al, Matt, BD, like, that shit was like anything to me. So I don't got no regrets on it because I really lived it how I wanted to live it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm fortunate for a lot of the experiences and the friendships that I've grown. Obviously, some of them isn't always what it's going to be and all of that, but the ones who stick, they're going to stick. And I'm fortunate for that. Unfortunately, it's taught me a lot of grimy shit about the business and how people look at you and perceive you and perception and how, you know, it's about ratings and whatever else, because people really sell their soul just for a dollar, and you really see that on a real broader scale. So for that, it's like, it's unfortunate because you can't find genuineness sometimes, but at the end of the day, that's their own demon. So I try not to focus on that.
Facts. I don't know if you have time to kind of sit back and look, but just kind of understanding how influential and almost before your time you were to the way the game is played today. You know, 2-time sixth man of the year, you know, the way you shot the ball, the way you shot your threes, the way you celebrated. I mean, rocking Supreme armbands and tattoos, your celebrations. That's really all the NBA is about these days. How do you look back on it, and did you face any backlash just kind of being you? Obviously, I know the answer to this question, why you were doing it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the game suits my style, you know, shooting, you know, especially from just a playing standpoint, shooting the ball, attacking the rim and stuff like that, spacing the floor. It's fun to see. Because I like to see, you know, the game being put in a more of a position to where you can see, you know, the young guys taking the talents to the next level, especially somebody like Ja. Like, Ja's one of my favorite players to watch when I do watch the games. And being able to express yourself is everything within the game. I feel like I was a little ahead of my time on how I was expressing myself and doing what I was doing, but at the end of the day, it was just, I do feel like it was taken for granted in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just looked at and deemed as something so terrible, you know what I'm saying? Like when you think about the fines, like, I take it back to the fines and shit, like, you think about that, like, bro, they suspended me 5 games for weed, bro. They suspended me for that. Now you can just smoke whatever. Oh yeah, you good, whatever. No test, no nothing. It ain't even about that. So you don't want to get none of that back, bro? So now it's okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, you showing up for three, talking shit in somebody's face, they give you a tech. Like, so now that shit is okay? Like, that shit was losing bread. Like, people going in next day talking cash shit about you and anything. You lose money in contracts. All about y'all don't want to get none of that back?
All right. All that sneaking and geeking we was doing.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, I love his attitude. I love when he do this. Oh, let's da 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 da. But when I was doing it, oh, he's just
bad guy.
That's a bad guy. He's a very selfish teammate. He's a, like, it's about him. But, bro, because I'm celebrating, all right. That's what it is. Right. I'm having fun kicking their ass when they would do the exact same thing to me if I was on the other end. But it would be cool then. All right, cool. Let's say that.
What's up with your Lakers, man? What's your opinion on the Lakers? What you think Bron gonna do?
Man, I don't know, man. Honestly, it's tough because, like, for real. Like, I think it's tough because, you know, so for him, he in a position to where he got a lot of great pieces around him. Like when you really look at the people around him on that team, he got great players. He got Dwight, he got one of the best rim protectors ever. You know what I'm saying? You got, you know, AD who can be, he can be healthy, he could not be healthy. But when he's healthy, he's one of the best players in the league. You got Russ who's been known to average a triple double at the drop of a hat. Like, that ain't even a question. What's the young boy name? Oh, you got Trevor Ariza, one of the greatest six men and contributors to come off the bench that we've seen consistently.
Yep.
Avery Bradley, amazing on-ball defender. Taylor Tucker is one of the best young kids in the game, second, third-year player. What is he, 6'7", handled the ball, attacked the rim. It's funny because—
Why they can't win?
Because I don't think it's— I think it's a lot of pointing the finger and the Lakers that are in the spotlight in a situation to where they always going to be front page news no matter who's on the team. And then when you add one of the greatest to ever play to add onto that team and you win a championship with that team 2 years prior, is a lot of expectations or whatever, just Lakers in general. But when you add the pieces and the names that you have on that team, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a media frenzy. You know what I'm saying? And then when you play the name game, when they blame Russ or this person for missing shots or that person for missing shots, and then nobody really takes, ownership or wholeness of it, but nobody's like defending one another. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you see it on TV, it's like they going at Russ and then, you know, Bron talking about something different, and then you barely see Vogel. So it's like you're not really getting it's funny because the media can make it seem like we can make it to the media like, oh, this is a brotherhood and all of that, but then the media can come in and then intertwine between the brotherhood and everything else, so nobody will, you won't take up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, if that's my teammate and that's my brother and I call you my brother, bro, I'm going to stick up for you, bro. I'll fight for you in the streets. I'll fight for you on the court. Like, it ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it with me. You know what I mean? I go at the coach and stand up for you, whatever. Like, that's just
right.
That's just how I rock. You know what I'm saying? But I understand it's the politics as usual. Well, and you can't do everything a certain kind of way. So you got to... It make you worry about yourself. I'm not a person who just worries about myself in these situations. I'm a teammate. It's my man. Like, I ain't... We rocking. Like, so pick and choose. That's what you got to do. You want to trade me over here? You want to trade me over there? All right, cool. But at the end of the day, that's going to be my man. So this ain't got nothing to do with your team and his team. And this, I ain't worried about that.
You got them winning the championship this year? And if you don't, who do you have winning the championship?
Nah, I can't say I got them winning the chip this year. I tell you one thing, it will be a hard out though, 7-game series. If they make it in that spot, they're gonna be a tough out.
I know you said you like watching Ja Morant earlier. What other players do you like watching besides Ja Morant?
I like watching Ja. I like watching Malik Monk, man. He's so gifted, bro. He reminds me a lot like me, man. He can shoot the three.
Yes, absolutely. And bounce.
Bounce, bro. Yep. He got boosters. I used to like him in Charlotte all the time. I told him all the time, like, yo, for real, like, you got it, kid. Just don't even worry about the boosters. Just hoop. He's one of my favorite.
Not to cut you off, he reminded me of just a smaller version of you. When I first seen him, I'm just like, yo, this kid is nice.
Yeah, he got game, bro. He got game. DeJounte Murray, bro, I'm so happy for him, man. That kid is tough. I've been telling people about him for a minute. And
All-star.
All-star, man. And you know what I like about him, though? He develops his game. He continues to go to the gym and works on his game. You know what I'm saying? People was talking about his shot for a minute. He was timid a little bit, but who wouldn't be playing for Pop when you're a rookie? You know what I'm saying? He's going off and you making mistakes or whatever, but he's staying consistent with it. He's been working at his game. He's always in the gym, and he just love the hoop, bro. Shout out to, you know, my man IT, because he's a Seattle boy. That's his young boy. So, where he's dope, man. I love his energy too, man. He's a really good person.
Yeah, he's solid. Who your MVP?
MVP? See, man, I've been saying this for years, man. Somebody gonna get this man his props, bro. That boy in Dallas, man, he is nice, dog. People be doing it with nothing. Like, I know disrespect, I hate to say it like that, but he don't be having, like, and he be in dogfights getting it done.
Yeah, he do, bro.
Slow ball, like, he ain't speeding it up for nobody. It ain't super flashy. He gets it done. You know what I'm saying? I would like to see if Brian could win it, and so many other players could win it on booty teams, quote unquote, so to say. He carry his team consistently. More than anybody, if he don't play, his team lose.
Word.
For sure. You go around the league, and so many other players been in and out. Teams are still able to get dubs or whatever. He don't play, they done.
Quick hitters coming down to the end. Three artists on rotation when you hit the links. Not normally, just when you on that golf course. It might be a little different mindset.
Bro, I listen to country music on a golf course.
Really?
I'm not surprised, dog.
That's country great. Music, bro. You know what's funny? I just started really getting into it heavy. Like, I always had the respect and love for country music. Just like, I never really took the time to actually figure out artists and all of that. So my little brother sent me this playlist. And I'll tell you, I've been bumping this joint like religion, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, you hear it, you be like, yo, Swish, you'll get the hell out of here. But I'll be bumping.
Hey, they talk shit though too. So I went to high school with all white kids, and I would hear a lot of country. Yo, they talk big shit. If you listen to what they're really saying in country, they be talking the same shit we talking, just their version of it, minus the killings.
Facts.
They be talking big shit.
It get me in my swing, bro. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I be listening to rap music and shit out there on the golf course, and I be speeding it up. I be going too fast. I be vibing and all of that shit. Be wanting to have a little sip. I listen to country music. I be chilling, relaxed. I ain't in a rush. I'm just, you know what I'm saying, taking my time, enjoying the elements of the game, being outside and all of that. I'm taking it in more. I receive it more. I listen to, you know, R&B and rap, man, just put me in that element to where I just so used to. I want to party, I want to chill, I want to have fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. In honor of Jamal Crawford retiring, who are your top three six men of all time? Don't be afraid to put yourself on that list.
Lou Will, GOAT. Jamal, GOAT, and I gotta go with GOAT Ginobili.
Funniest thing that happened to you recently?
funniest thing that happened to me recently. Ah, man. So look, right. So I'm here, right? I'm in Florida. And I play golf with this couple of my boys down in Aventura. So they give me this this Titleist putter. It's a Circle T Scotty Cameron putter. And it's one of the rare putters or whatever, if you in the golf situation, you know. So long story short, I'm like, you know what? I'm going. Book a flight. Me and my girl, we leaving out the next day, all of this shit, right? So I was so hyped about it, I just said, fuck, I'm gonna book it. Flew from here to had a layover somewhere, had to hop on another joint and go to LA. Get to LA, drive to San Diego. I look and see what time they close or whatever. They closed the whole, they closed on Sundays and Mondays. It flew out. I was supposed to fly right back. I didn't even check what time it was, bro. I didn't check what day it was. I didn't check what days they closed or nothing. Flew all the way over that joint. They closed.
Yeah, that's fucked
up. That's what you give for not paying attention, bro. I flew all the way across the world, bro. Shit is wild.
You mentioned you got a chance to play with MJ. Tiger's the one person you'd want to play with. Outside of those two, if you can have a one-on-one golf tournament with anyone in the history, who would it be?
They got to be a PGA pro or?
No, anybody. Anybody.
Oh, Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, that's good. He sent us some Air Force Ones. Shout out, Jr.
Yeah. Swing man, bro. The swing man.
Stuck on the island. You stuck on the island, Swish. What three shows or movies you got in rotation?
Yellowstone, Sons of Anarchy, and Fresh Prince.
Sons of Anarchy finna come back on, bro. Get ready.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm definitely ready for that. Movies, He Got Game, Bag of Vance, and Transformers.
Best Kobe story on or off the court?
Man, so... off the court, I'm in Philippe's in New York playing with the Knicks. Lakers is, you know, obviously in town or whatever. But they was playing, I think they was playing Brooklyn, then they was playing us. And I'm out with my trainer, Edon, at the time, and we chilling in the back. And somebody, one of the waiters or the manager come up, he's like, yo, man, Kobe in here. I was like, oh, word? Like, dang, that's what's up. Like, I ain't never seen Kobe out or whatever. I always seen him at the arena. Never seen him out. Or at the gym. Never seen him out. And he was like, yeah, he said he wants to talk to you. So I almost got, like, summoned. So I was like, so I'm sitting there like, all right, cool. I'm going to check him on the way out. So the trainer at the time, he geeking out. He going crazy. Like, dude, you want to go over there now? Like, you want to go over there now? Like, you want to go over there now? I'm like, man, let this man chill. And so he finished the food, whatever, walking out. And he stood up, gave me a hug, started chopping up for a second, like just standing, talking, checking on the families, whatever, whatever. He's like, you about to leave? I was like, yeah. He said, man, come sit down real quick. Come sit down. I'm like, all right, cool. And he really, like, you know, schooled me on how intelligent he was, like just about so many different things. Like waiter would come back, he'd order something in Italian and like going back. I'm like he was like holding court. He got a Nike, he got, I think it was a Rob right there, Nico's right there. And like, he like, you know, talking shit to them, like, you know, and you, especially like somebody at Nike, like Nico was, and talking about ideas that he expressed and shit that Nike took and didn't give him the credit for and all of that shit. Like, he like grilling them and going at them. Excuse me. And to see him in that element, I was like, yo, he a real one. Like, I wasn't I was expecting Cole to be like more, you know, if you seen him out, he in the cut, just him. Or maybe one other person is trained or something, and that's it. And I'm saying, I'm like, oh, Like, he's speaking, he's talking that shit. I'm like, oh, okay. He gave me his number, told me hit him up. We got to, you know me, you want to rap, whatever, whatever, can work out. I'm like, all right, cool. I thought it was bullshit on the workout shit, right? So I ain't never hit him up on the workout shit. I was just talking about moves and situations and games because I knew he was watching. And I really got a totally different perspective of Cole, you know what I'm saying? Because you would all, from, again, different perceptions of what you hear and what some of the other people say, you really get one-on-one or catch them in a different environment and light, and like you receive it in a different, totally different space. So to have that moment with him was like, it's special, man. Something I always remember.
He was definitely one of us. That's funny. Like you say, you never know how you think he would be until you're around him. You're like, oh, this dude is regular. Smart as a motherfucker, but be talking big shit to anybody, everybody. Cool as a fan, man. Rest in peace to the homie. Jack, finish him up.
Man. Yes, sir. You know what quick question is last. We hit you with it the first time you came on the show. If you have anyone on All the Smoke, who would it be?
I'd like to see Tiger on here, man, talking this shit.
Yes,
man.
Yes, you know, yes.
Set the standard, Tiger, set the bar high, bro.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope. But JR, man, we appreciate you. Continue to be great. Love
you. We're going to be checking in. For you.
Yeah. So welcome to the family again, man. Definitely welcome to the family. Good luck with school. Second semester. Got golf season coming up. Me and Jack gonna come out there and fuck with you.
Come on.
We're excited to have you as a part of the family, man. So continue to, man, be a great student, golfer, role model, father. And, man, we're gonna catch up with you, bro.
Y'all already know, man. I'm only an hour 45 from the yayo, man. So if y'all down this way, let me know.
Yes, you know, sir. I'm gonna pull up.
For sure.
That's a wrap. Special edition of All the Smoke with our brother and now correspondent for Showtime Basketball, J.R. Smith. Man, you can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace. This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.